You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. Normally, the Friday edition in the past has been a long show, typically two, sometimes three, and on one or two occasions, 4 hours, which is a little bit hard because there are no commercial breaks, there are no call-ins, so it's yours truly talking for an hour or two or three. Tonight, that won't be the case. We've had a sort of change in management in terms of the Richland Chronicle, and they're usually getting the paper out, put to bed early. And I mean early. In the past, it's been 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, sometimes even later before it's put to bed. Now, one of the reasons is we're only doing 8 pages. We're not doing 10 pages, in some cases 12. So when you're only doing 8 pages, given the volunteers that we have, and most of the people are volunteers, it's work. And these are students that are spending their own time, with a few exceptions. There are people that get paid. But they're putting their own time, laying out the paper, and making sure everything is right before we go to press. And I'm giving you that background because it looks like they're going to get out early. I was sort of warned that I might not have much time. I'm counting on at least 15 or 30 minutes, but I'm just going to play it by ear because I had to really catch up on some of the other post-productions. So this will be a short show. And what I'm going to do is focus in on the South Carolina elections. And remember, this is Saturday, tomorrow, in South Carolina. The citizens of South Carolina that want to vote Republican can go to the polls and select who they think would be the best person to be the next president of the United States. That's what we're talking about. And if you listen to the news, the television networks, as well as the radio, you would have gotten the distinct impression that Donald Trump is going to run away with this. Well, that was definitely the case a week or 2 weeks ago. Donald Trump was leading by a solid 15 points. And his closest rival, in some cases he was ahead of him more than 15 points, was Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, who is a conservative. Donald Trump is not, in my mind, a conservative. Now, on some issues he is. On others, he isn't. And I'll say it once more, I think the reason why Donald Trump is ahead of everybody is that he's made immigration, in particular illegal immigration, or what I call the invasion of this country by 30 to 50 million illegal aliens over the last 15 to 20 years, a campaign issue, a wedge issue that neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party, the leadership, wanted to be an issue. But the people want it to be an issue. And that is its main attraction. Because the people of the United States are tired of the leadership, the political leadership, the career politicians, ignoring them. And what we're talking about is jobs. There are approximately 94 million people that are not in the labor force. Now, many of these people don't want to be in the labor force. They're retired, or they're going to school, college, or they're raising a family, and they want to be home when their kids are young. But of those 94 million, there's anywhere between 20 and 30 million that do want to work. They're looking for full-time employment. And if they could find a job that matches their skill sets, and I'm saying a good-paying job, they'd take the job. The problem is the United States economy has been stagnating, growing at less than two-thirds of what it could be. The historical average, and it does depend on when you start and when you end, but the economy of the United States for many decades, like 50 years or more, on average grows about 3.5%. Now, you get a range of between 3 and 3.5%, and the number is slightly lower if you're doing it in terms of productivity per worker. But think of it as somewhere between 3 and 3.5%. What are we growing at today? Less than 2%. And by the end of the month, we'll get the second revised estimate for the last quarter of last year. Remember, we got a report that said the economy was growing at a real rate of growth for gross domestic product of 0.7%. That's 0.7%. That's terrible, folks. I hope that number is wrong. But we're approaching another recession. And I don't make predictions, projections, or forecasts. And I really hope we don't go into a recession. But if you look around the world, the other economies of the world are either in a recession or about to go into a recession. China is dramatically slowing down. We're also in a currency war where the central banks, European Central Bank, Bank of Japan, as well as our own Federal Reserve, are devaluing the currency, in our case, the dollar, so it's worth less. They do that to encourage foreigners to buy our goods and services. The problem is when everybody does it, it doesn't work, and it leads to trade wars, and those tend to lead to world wars. It doesn't end good, and the problem is our political leaders are running out of ideas. They don't know what to do. And what I've been saying on the show for years, what they're doing is not what needs to be done. The problem is out of control federal spending. That's taking too much resources out of the economy. There's no free lunch. The money comes from somewhere. And not only are we spending all the tax revenues that we pay, but we're going into debt. We run these deficits year in, year out of hundreds of billions of dollars. We're $1 billion is $1,000 million. We're talking hundreds of these. So our debt has gone up, up, and up. And what the monetary authorities, the central bank, the Federal Reserve is doing is artificially keeping interest rates low. That's called financial repression, by the way, because who does it hurt? It hurts savers. It hurts investments. So a combination of out-of-control fiscal policy, government spending, as well as this ZIRP, zero interest rate policy, as well as printing money when we were doing quantitative easing, that has resulted in an economy that is not growing above or even equal to the historical growth rate of the United States economy of roughly 3 to 3.5%, depending on, again, where you start, what years you start, and what years you end. Now, I gave you this background for a reason. The number one issue in this election is jobs, jobs, jobs. And to the extent you have the United States flooded, invaded over a 15 to 20 year period, both in under Democratic and Republican administrations, you now have tens of millions of Americans out of job because you have anywhere from 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that either have come here legally on a visa and overstayed or crossed over the U.S.-Mexican border, whether they're from Mexico, Central America, or other countries. That's why the American people are revolting. They're leaving both parties, or in the case of the Republican Party, they're voting for Donald Trump for one main reason: to protest what the Republican Party has done to its voter base. You see, the Democrats want this flood of illegal aliens to continue, as well as the number of legal immigrants coming to this country to increase from roughly a little over 1 million to 2 million and 3 million. Because they see all these illegals as well as legals as future Democratic voters, registered Democrats. And I think they're right. They truly believe in their strategy and calculation is they'll get between two out of three or three out of four will become documented Democrats. In other words, registered Democrats. And they really don't care about their Democratic base. In other words, the American worker. They're in it for one reason, power. And they believe if they follow this strategy of caring more about illegal aliens than the American worker, they ultimately will win election after election. And if you watch what's happened in the Democratic Party, it's gone further and further to the left. They want bigger and bigger government where you are dependent on the government. They want to control you, and they want a lock. And ideally, what they want is a single party in power, the Democratic Party. But the American people are leaving both parties, and they are in search of a way to get their message across, and Donald Trump has been that vehicle. Now, do I think Donald Trump is going to win in South Carolina? Well, I have no special knowledge, but I'll give you my opinion because I have been following the polls. As you approach Election Day, more and more people start to finally make up their mind. Now, some are not going to vote. I tend to be in that category. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm sick of both parties, and I'm not going to return to either one of them. Because both have been responsible for out-of-control government spending. They have not secured the borders, nor have they enforced immigration law. So I'm not supporting either party. They have betrayed me as have they betrayed the American people. I see through their nonsense, their hypocrisy. It's all about power or money from the donor class. And that's what's in it for the Republican candidates. They get large campaign contributions from the very wealthy, the owners and the executives of large corporations, as well as medium size. So they're not going to change their ways, and that's why they are opposing Donald Trump. Not that Donald Trump is really going to be that much better. You see, Donald Trump has fooled his own supporters. He's fooled millions of people. Now, some people are starting to wise up to him. Oh, yeah, he wants to build that huge, beautiful wall with the door, powerful wall. But what's the problem? We have 30 to 50 million illegal aliens here that should go home. That's what the American people are asking. Please go home. On your own accord, go home. We didn't ask you to come, and we don't want you to stay because you're hurting our country and you're hurting the people that were born, raised, and educated here that are now finding increasing difficulty in finding a decent paying job. And when you have that many people over a 15 or 20 year period competing with American citizens, that's what happens. So the American people are rebelling against both parties that have betrayed them for different reasons, but in essence for power and money. They don't care about the people of America, the workers of America. They care about staying in office because they're career politicians and getting campaign contributions so they can finance their campaigns and place radio and television ads, which I'm hearing on the talk radios that I listen to. Not unusual because March 1st is coming up and they're running scared. I hope they're real scared, but I doubt it. Many of them are clueless that they have fundamentally broken the contract between the people and their representatives. So what's going to happen in South Carolina? The smart money is saying that Donald Trump is going to win. I'm not sure because I followed the polls fairly closely, but I also know the closer you come to Election Day, people do finally make up their minds. They focus on the candidates. And what I'm seeing is Donald Trump's numbers in the polls have gone down. And Ted Cruz's numbers in the polls have gone up. That doesn't surprise me. It happens in every race to different people in different directions. I think the reason Ted Cruz's numbers are going up is he has an organization that is going to get out the vote and has run the ads that you need to run to first get the trust and address that issue with the voters, and he has. Because I've heard Ted Cruz's ad on trust many times in Texas. I'm sure he's running the same ad or a similar ad in South Carolina. That gets people's attention because I've said that the issue this election is trust. The American people no longer trust their elected representatives, whether it's their representative or senator or who they want to be their president. If they don't trust you, they're not going to listen to you, and they shouldn't, and most won't vote for you. And they look at the Democratic Party, they don't trust Hillary Clinton at all. Even Democrats don't trust Hillary Clinton. So there's not much choice changing parties. There actually isn't. And we know the Democratic Party would love to have open borders and to continue what Barack Obama is doing right now, not enforcing immigration law. And that's what all Americans, the majority of Americans, are demanding. Not being unreasonable, if anything, that's what should be happening. And it's not, because you need leadership, both in terms of the president and the people in Congress, to insist that our laws, all the laws, be enforced. And when they're not being enforced, and I'm talking immigration laws, that is hurting Americans in the pocketbooks, and Americans vote their wallets. So I hope they're, both parties are running scared. Now, up to now, that has benefited by far Donald Trump. It's no accident he's the front runner. And the primary reason, not the only reason, but the primary reason he's the front runner is he made immigration the issue of his campaign. He has positions on other issues. I understand that. He also has some problems, and one is the trust problem. Not too long ago, I'm talking a couple of years ago, he was a Democrat. He supported Democrats. He gave money to Democrats. He was pro-choice. Now he's changed his tune. Why? He wants to be president of the United States. So he's obviously recruited some talented people that run campaigns and knows what are the issues that you have to take a stand on and what position should you hold, for example, on whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. The majority of Republicans are pro-life. The majority of Republicans strongly support the Second Amendment. And Donald Trump is right on those issues, and he's also right on immigration and other issues. So I'm not surprised, and I've been saying this for years, that the political candidate of either party that would make immigration, more specifically the enforcement of immigration laws, the wedge issue will win. Together, if they will propose fundamental tax reform. Now, Trump hasn't done that. He has a plan that's better than the existing income tax system, but it's still the existing income tax system. It's better, but it's not a broad-based consumption tax. You see, the problem is the tax that everybody pays are Social Security and Medicare taxes, and they're regressive. Everybody pays. Now, the bottom 50 pay 50% that are earning wages or a salary, they pay less than 3% of the taxes. But all of them that are working are paying Social Security and Medicare. We need fundamental reform, namely how we collect the revenue that we need to support or pay for the bills that the government incurs, including paying for the promises that we made in the past to the people today that are getting Social Security and Medicare. And none of the candidates are proposing a broad-based consumption tax, such as the fair tax. Now, I don't have time to get into that, but I'm trying to say there's a lot of things that can and should be done to turn around this nation. And what people are doing right now is trying to decide who is the person that can change the direction this country is going in. Now, Donald Trump, for many, is that person. I would say about 25%, as high as maybe 30%. And they're not, and you can't change their mind. They've made up their mind on Donald Trump, and there's nothing you can say. You can point out the shortcomings, but I call it invincible ignorance. I've made up my mind. Don't confuse me with the facts. Those are the true believers in Donald Trump. And if you're another candidate and you're smart, you don't waste your time on them. What you want are people that are open-minded, that haven't made up their mind, and then you make your case to them. And what I'm saying is you got to be strong on the enforcement of immigration laws, both legal and illegal. You have to be strong on tax reform. And most of the candidates have reform plans, but none of them, in my mind, go anywhere near far enough. The problem is they still collect revenue based on income taxation, not on spending, government spending. Until you change the basis of taxation and then base whatever you collect, make that the budget of the United States, the problems will continue. See, the core problem is out of control federal spending. So you need a party and a candidate that's going to limit it. And that's why I don't vote for the Democratic or Republican parties. They are for growing the size, the scope, the role, the function of the federal government. That's why Washington, D.C. has become the new Rome. And the people that live there are oblivious to the fact that the people of the United States that live outside of D.C. and the immediate suburbs don't like what's going on. And they're in open rebellion. Now, they're not marching in the streets, but they are being attracted to those candidates. And remember, they don't have much of a choice. It's either Democrat or Republican, and that is the more long-range problem. I think it's a waste of time to try to reform either the Democrat or Republican Party. It's a losing battle. Start from scratch. Build a party that really believes in limited government. Run candidates with integrity, have character, and it gets back to my point. You got to trust who you're voting for. So I think what's going to happen is Ted Cruz and Donald Trump together have somewhere between 50 to 60% of the vote in South Carolina. I think it's right around 55%. If you add their numbers up, and we'll have the numbers late tomorrow evening, I'm willing to bet the numbers will be somewhere between 50 and 60%, but most likely around 55% total for Trump and Cruz. The question is, who will have more? I think it is a very, very close race because Donald Trump has been losing his lead. It's narrowing. And Ted Cruz has been closing the gap. And everything is a function of timing. I think they both will get around 27.5%. One will get slightly more than the other. It's that close. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. That's my educated best guess studying what both candidates either are doing or not doing. Now, for those that are Marco Rubio fans, he most likely will come in third. And I don't think he's going to break the 20% barrier. He'll be probably at 18% if he's lucky. Now, I'm hoping, but not really being optimistic, that after Saturday, one or two of the remaining candidates will drop out. I don't think that's going to happen. In other words, you're going to have to wait to March 2nd before you see either Jeb Bush, John Kasich, or for that matter, Marco Rubio, before they will consider even suspending their campaigns. And most likely, they're not going to do that until Florida. So hopefully by April Fool's Day, we'll have a two-man race. Do I think that's going to happen? No, we'll probably have a three-person race. And if you have a three-person race, that's to the advantage of Donald Trump. So I'm looking a little bit ahead. I think March 1st will be a big event, and we'll finally get a better handle as to who truly is the front runner. Is it Donald Trump, a recent convert from being a liberal Democrat to now being a popular Republican, or will it be Ted Cruz, a conservative, or, and I don't think this is likely, It could be a neocon, a neoconservative, with a very much poor record because of his involvement with the Gang of Eight. See, the establishment has a problem. Neither Jeb Bush, John Kasich, or Marco Rubio are getting the numbers you need for your candidate to win. Now, the press, the media, the television networks, I think it's very clear, at least to me it's clear, that they're behind Marco Rubio, as is some of the very big donors in the Republican Party. But none of the so-called establishment candidates have caught on because the Republican voter base considers all of them the problem. They're not the solution. They're the problem. Now, to be fair, yeah, they'll get 40% of the vote, 40%. But you don't win the nomination with 40%, even if you're Donald Trump. You need 1,236 delegates to win, 50% plus one. This is just the beginning of the race. It's very much a marathon. And South Carolina will give you some indication of the direction we're going into. But you're really going to have to wait until all the primaries and caucuses are over in March. And you should have a definite feel by April Fool's Day whether we have a two- or three-man race. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be a three-person race. And if it continues to be a three-person race, I think Donald Trump will win the nomination, cut a deal with whoever is number two, and run, get the nomination, run for president, and we'll win. And that's how I see it. Do I support Donald Trump? No. Do I support Marco Rubio? No. Do I support any of the establishment candidates, Kasich, Bush, and Marco? No. I've given up on both political parties. The only candidate that I could, in good conscience, vote for is Ted Cruz. Is he my ideal candidate? Absolutely not. My ideal candidate would not be running as a Republican or a Democrat. He'd be running as a candidate for a new party that believes in limited government, and I mean cutting the federal government by half. And none of the candidates are proposing that. So I'll probably stay home, especially if Ted Cruz is not the candidate. I don't see any purpose to going to the polls. That is just encouraging the same SOBs that have got us in this mess. You see, the American people, and I include myself in this, we're responsible for this mess. We let the career politicians run roughshod over the people. And now we're approaching a day of reckoning. We can't keep doing what we're doing in terms of government spending. It's totally and completely out of control. There's the distinct possibility that we'll have a worldwide global recession. And when you have that, what happens to government revenues? They plummet. And then the only way to pay for government is more and more debt. We're in a vicious cycle. It's a death spiral. And ultimately, it crashes. We've gone too far down the road to serfdom. We have to stop, change direction, and stop trying to be American empire and go back to fundamentals and become American republic, which means downsizing the federal government. Some would call it austerity. I call it fiscal responsibility, living within the means of the American people. And let me ask you a very pointed question. Which candidate is talking about any of this? The answer is none of them are. They talk in generalities, but they don't have specifics. They don't want to go near these problems because it means drastic cuts and closing of federal departments, bureaucracies that employ tens of thousands of people. But until we get serious and confront our out-of-control government, what's going to happen? The economy will continue to stagnate. We will soon have over 100 million people not in the labor force. If we don't control our borders and enforce our laws, instead of 30 to 50 million, we'll have 50 to 70 million. We have to stop the invasion of this country by illegal aliens and people that come here legally and overstay their visas. That means vigorous enforcement of the law. Until that happens, nothing is going to happen. The invasion will continue and continue and continue. No one wants to tell you the truth. They lie to you by telling you, oh, there's only 11 or 12 million illegal aliens here. They lie to you when they tell you the unemployment rate is 4.9%, as politicians over the years have changed the definition. Realistically, our unemployment rate is at least double that. It's over 10%. And that's why I say we have at least 20 and really closer to 30 million people that want to work but can't find a job. Some of that is due to Obamacare. And even Donald Trump, I think it was yesterday or the day before, was questioned on this, and he says he's for the mandate. Excuse me, Donald. The mandate's the problem, and you're for it? Are you out of your mind? Apparently he is. But Donald Trump might be our next president. For some, that's a scary proposition. Not to me. You know what's scarier? Some of the other people that are running. They don't have a clue. They want to grow it. Reagan had it right. Government is not the answer to our problems. It is the problem. And we have in Washington, D.C., as well as in the media, deep denial of what really is going on. They think they're fooling the people. They're not fooling the people. The people know what's going on. That's why they're leaving both the Democratic and the Republican Party. That's why someone like Donald Trump is today the front runner. And only Ted Cruz, who the establishment, really both parties, but mainly the Republican Party, they don't like him. They hate him. Why? He wants accountability. And these people don't want to be held accountable for anything. They're running away. They're denying there's a problem when we manifestly have problems. You don't solve a problem until you first admit there is one. They can't take responsibility because they're responsible for the spending and the debt and the deficits. And both parties are big government parties. So I wish the people of South Carolina well. I hope they choose wisely. But don't fear, you're just one state. I do hope that Cruz wins. But my best bet is it's a tie. 27.5% each. So if Cruz can get at least one more vote than Trump, he wins. But guess what? It's proportional. They'll each get the same number of delegates, and Trump has the most delegates so far. That's why I keep saying and repeating, wait to Super Tuesday. That will give you a big indication who truly is the front runner. We don't really know who the front runner is. If you ask a Trump supporter, it's Donald. He's our man. If you ask a Cruz supporter, he's our man. A Rubio supporter, he's our man. I keep saying, show me a party that truly believes in the United States Constitution, believes in limited government, believes in running not only the best and brightest candidate, but the virtuous and wisest candidates. I'm not seeing it, folks. I'm not seeing it in the Democratic Party, and only to a small extent in the Republican. I could come up with four candidates when I started this, and now I'm down to one. I knew that was going to happen. People drop out. They can't get their message across. They can't attract the money that they need. It's not easy to run a presidential campaign. There are a lot of moving parts. You need the money. You need the organization. You better have the right message that resonates with the people. And if you have those three, hopefully you'll get some momentum, and you better have ambition, because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon, and only those that have all of those, money, organization, message, momentum, ambition, and have them in large quantities, will finish this marathon. And I only think it's one or two people have a chance to. And one I have grave reservations about, mainly because of trust issues. And if you listen to the last show, I believe he's a raving narcissist. And that is always dangerous when you elect one to high public office, namely president. president and commander-in-chief of our armed forces. We've had one for 8 years, and it looks like we'll have another one, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. That should scare you. I hope it does. And I hope it makes you reconsider and seriously consider who you vote for. There's no one in the Democratic Party that are running or even could run that I would vote for. It's not the Democratic Party that my father and family voted for decades. It's simply no longer that party. They would not recognize that party today. And the Republican Party is not much better. And there's only one person to blame, and that's you and me. You chose them, many because they look like you. Identity politics. Or you got emotionally involved with them instead of checking them out. I'm amazed who we've had presidents in the last 20, 30 years. Are these truly the best and brightest? Absolutely not. Are they the virtuous and the wisest? You got to be kidding. It's very much the lowest common denominator, and that's not a recommendation at all for someone that can lead us away from the road to serfdom, where the American people largely become dependent on the government. So this is probably one of the most important elections in our country's history. There have been others, but this is a very, very important election. I think we can see it, and it's really obvious today, in the fact that at the Supreme Court today, lying in repose, was a giant of jurisprudence, Anthony Scalia, that died last Saturday. The president nominates who he wants to replace Scalia, and an ex-president will more than likely nominate two and maybe even three. According to our Constitution, it's up to the Senate to advise and consent as to whether or not the person is qualified and really reflects the will of the American people as to what they want to see on the Supreme Court. The problem we have is a president that, by not enforcing the laws of this nation, primarily immigration law, has violated his oath of office. He should have been impeached, if not convicted. And our Congress, controlled by both in the House and the Senate by the Republican Party and its leadership, would not impeach him, nor would it cut off funding. And those are the only two remedies. When you're dealing with a president that betrays his oath of office, is engaged, as far as I'm concerned, in criminal activity by not enforcing the law, he doesn't deserve to have whoever he nominates, good, bad, or indifferent, be forwarded and confirmed and appointed to the Supreme Court. Let the next president, whether it be Democrat or Republican, decide that issue. But it emphasizes, again, the importance of this election. Now, I've heard for time immemorial that case, that point about justices. And yes, because of the age of the justices and their health, I fully expect whoever is elected will probably appoint two or three or maybe more. Your freedoms and liberties very much hang in the balance. Because if the wrong people are nominated and finally get approved, we won't have judicial restraint. So I wish well all the people of South Carolina. Select very carefully, because you might get what you wish for. So be very deliberate as to who you vote for. With that, I want to close out my show for Friday. I could go on. I'm predicting, just to summarize, a very, very close race between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. I think they will get about 27.5% of the vote, together about 55%. And either Mr. Trump or Mr. Cruz will win. Coming in a distant third will be Marco Rubio, probably with less than 20% of the vote. And the rest, I really don't care. Would I vote for any of them? If Cruz was running as a candidate for a constitutional Republican Party, not the Republican Party we have now, I would vote for him. But you see, I'm realistic. It doesn't matter whether Ted Cruz wins or Donald Trump or Marco Rubio, because when you get right down to it, you're not going to see much change coming out of the Congress, the House, and the Senate. They're still going to be there, as will the bureaucracy. We're well beyond the entry point down the road to serfdom. It's not a road, folks. It's a superhighway. And it doesn't end well. It ends in default of our debt. Not that we won't pay the interest or the principal, but it'll be worth a fraction of what investors expected to get. We're devaluing or debasing our currency. We will have the debt bomb exploding. And with that, interest rates will skyrocket. And then the day of reckoning will come, and you will see, like Greece, rebellion, open rebellion. Because at that point, you can't send out the checks that those are dependent upon the government are expecting. We have a limited amount of time to change direction and get our fiscal house in order. And it's not going to happen under either a Democratic or a Republican administration. It's simply not. One man is not going to change this. The people are going to have to change it by organizing a new party, getting the candidates of integrity, of character, to run for office, and ultimately take control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And even under the most optimistic scenario, we have less than 15 years to do it. Time is running out. So select, choose carefully who you're going to vote for. But don't get your hopes up high. Because until the American people decide it's up to them, nothing is going to happen. We don't have leadership in Washington. We have followership. Now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.